Today we will be reading from the Old Testament book of Haggai. But before we do that, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer as we ask God to bless us with His word. Lord our God, thank you for this time of conversation with you as we gather in worship. Thank you that you've greeted us and that we've responded. Thank you that we've asked for forgiveness and that you forgave us. Thank you for children. Thank you for music and singing and the ability to lift up our voices in worship. And thank you for your word. God, help us this morning to listen with new attention. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive your message. And if there's anything that hinders us, may your spirit take care of it and prepare us now, for we want to hear what you want to tell us. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and it talks about the future glory of the temple. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel," says the Lord. "Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land," says the Lord. "Work, for I'm with you," says the Lord of hosts, "according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give prosperity, says the Lord of the hosts." This is the word of the Lord. The Community Church of Douglaston is measured not only by its breadth, but also by its height and depth. So 3D printing, three-dimensional printing, has come a long way. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with this concept, but when you hear the words 3D printing, you're probably thinking of a desktop-sized printer that can produce small three-dimensional objects. Maybe things like auto parts or a prosthetic limb, or maybe a camera lens. And some of those objects are very useful, as you know. But the technology is now being applied on a far larger scale. 3D printing machines the size of a house can now print full-sized houses, or even a whole small house. And they can do it repeatedly and rapidly. 3D printing has become an industrial production technology. For instance, there's a giant 3D printer that can build 10 prefab homes in under 24 hours. Now, the homes are not huge, but that's pretty remarkable. Just think that, you know, how it could provide shelters for people after a natural disaster, or the potential it may have in parts of the world where there is a housing crisis, or eventually It may reduce the cost of everyday house construction. Now think about the church. Because the church is a building too, right? We have a church building. We have a beautiful campus, as a matter of fact. It was definitely not printed. It was built by hand. And so in our text from Haggai, the Jewish people are back in Jerusalem. They're back from having been in exile in Babylon. And it's 520 years before Christ was born. And the church is in ruins. Decades earlier, the Babylonian army had overrun Jerusalem. And they destroyed the temple, the one King Solomon had built. And King Solomon's temple was anything but humble. It had been glorious. But now, back in Jerusalem, those who returned under the urging of prophets Haggai and Zechariah had finally constructed a replacement temple. But it was nothing like the previous one. Compared to Solomon's temple, it was a modest structure. And so Haggai says to the people, "Do any of you remember how great the temple was before it was destroyed? What does it look like now? Doesn't it seem like nothing to you?" Just remember what the temple used to look like, how it was, all glorious. And what do you see now? Not much, right? The new temple must have looked, I guess, almost like a 3D printed church. Nothing more than a good start. But then God promises more to come. And Haggai says to them, "The new temple will be greater than the one before, says the Lord All-Powerful. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord All-Powerful." I guess you could say that God promised them that the temple would eventually be full dimensional in the best sense of the term, full dimensional. And so when we jump to the New Testament, and more specifically to the time after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on Christ's followers as the church, what we see is that the church is not a building made by hands or hammers, or printers, or by people. The church is people. We may need a church building to gather in, but the church of Christ is really the people who follow him, the people who worship him. And what we see is that the church universal, that's made of all of God's people who believe, and that community church, that this fellowship of believers is really a three-dimensional church. We have three dimensions that apply to us. The dimensions of height and breadth and depth. And so I want to focus in on that this morning. So let me talk to you a little bit more today about the three dimensions of the church and CCD in 3D. And so the first dimension is breadth. And that is what most churches have been focusing on in recent years. Churches have concentrated on breadth. We've tried to make our churches welcoming of a greater range of people than what was maybe true for decades before that. So for instance, music has changed. All churches used to sing traditional hymns with an organ. Now most churches sing contemporary praise and worship songs as well, and they have praise bands with guitars and drums. The use of multimedia and visual displays have become standard. COVID has caused the church to embrace technology even further, and now live streaming has become the new norm. And you have websites and Facebook and YouTube. And so the church is adapting in order to attract and welcome today's generation. Like someone said, the message can never change. But the methods of sharing that message must always change and adapt. We also have a coffee hour after fellowship, after church. Unfortunately, not today, but you know, we typically have that. We have preached lots of love your neighbor sermons. We're involved in the community. We're collecting food and clothing. We're making an effort to involve children from the community in our Christmas pageant this year. We just finished a six-week small group study on temperaments and more effective communication. In our denomination, there's an emphasis on eliminating racial barriers and barriers related to sexual orientation. And so the church has worked to become more open, to be more diverse and inclusive, all in an effort to grow wider, which of course is good. It's good. The question, however, is, has this focus on breadth happened at the expense of height and depth? Like someone said, today's church is a mile wide and an inch deep. So let's also zoom in on the other two dimensions of the church. So let's talk about the dimension of height. You see, if we only focus on the breadth, on sideways growth, if all of our energy goes into trying to grow the church wider, then it can become a problem, because the starting point for what makes us the church is actually height. Height represents the relationship we have with that which is higher than ourselves. And what is higher than ourselves is our Creator and the Lord. God is higher than ourselves. But often we can get so involved in horizontal relationships and efforts that we fail to cultivate the vertical one, the most important relationship in our lives, our relationship with God. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, a group of people meet in our fellowship hall here at CCD. People who struggle with an alcohol addiction. And the first step of their 12-step program is to acknowledge that you are powerless by yourself to resist the temptation, the addiction. And the second step is to turn the control of your life over to a higher power. That higher power for us is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what these 12-step programs do is they recognize that people who turn to them for help have gotten the dimensions of their lives out of balance. And in essence, they have neglected the higher connection. One theory about why people abuse drugs and alcohol is that on some level they become aware of an emptiness deep inside of them. And so the substance abuse is a way of trying to fill that void. But it is a void that really only God can fill. That's why St. Augustine wrote many centuries ago, "You have made us for yourself alone, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And so if we think about that statement within the context of us being a church and our life as a church, I guess you could say that we know that it's possible to enjoy the culture and the fellowship of the church without developing that higher connection to the God of the church and of the universe. And if that's the case, though, if that's all there is to our coming together, then the question becomes, are we really a church or are we just a social club? And so listen to the words of the author of Psalm 61. He was feeling lost and alone, and then he prayed this. He said, "Please listen, God, and answer my prayer. I feel hopeless, and I cry out to you from a faraway land. Lead me to the mighty rock high above me. You are a strong tower where I'm safe from my enemies." The mighty rock high above me is a metaphor for God. This person knew where he could find help and meaning for his life. And so because he was willing to climb that rock, because he was paying attention to the height dimension of his life, he could find security and peace and blessing and a meaningful life. So we cannot truly build that relationship with God if we only nurture the breadth dimension of the church. Yes, breadth is important, and we need to know, grow the church wider. But what about height? If there's no height, then there's always something missing in the church. So look at it this way, all right? Get a picture of the cross in your mind, or that cross, maybe that's on the screen. Because I want to point something out to you. The cross is made up of two beams, right? There's a vertical beam and there's a horizontal beam. Let's say the vertical beam represents our relationship with God and Jesus, and the horizontal beam represents our relationship with our neighbors and with each other. Or another way of looking at it is the vertical beam represents God's love, and the horizontal beam represents love for others and for one another. Or you could say that the vertical beam represents height, and the horizontal beam represents breadth. But here's the point I'm making. The horizontal beam cannot exist by itself, suspended in midair. It has to be connected to the vertical beam. For it to be part of the cross, it has to be grounded in the vertical beam. And so your love needs to be connected to God's love. Because God's sacrificial love in your life enables you to love sacrificially. Your relationships will flourish if they are grounded in a relationship with Him who is higher, with God. And so for the church to be meaningfully engaged in breadth, it needs the height of faith in God. Because without faith in God, we labor in vain. So if we're going to be a church of more than one dimension, we must always be seeking God's guidance in worship. We must always be listening for His word in what we do and why we do it. Always be pointing whoever comes through that door to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Breadth and height. So that leaves us with one more dimension. And that is depth, the dimension of depth. Depth represents discipleship over the long haul. It's about our journey of faith to our final destination. I mean, most of us, I guess, can take one of Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, and do it for a little while. To be a peacemaker for a day isn't too hard, right? But being a peacemaker year after year is another thing altogether. I'm sure you can on occasion turn the other cheek. You can manage to do that. But to turn your cheek as a way of life requires great commitment. Even praying for those who are a pain in the neck or maybe somewhere else is possible. But being kind and gracious toward these knuckleheads on a permanent basis requires significant energy and spiritual depth. And so the prophet Habakkuk has something to say to us about this. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "The righteous live by their faith." But there's a little footnote on the word faith in this verse. And when you zoom in a little closer, you find that the Hebrew word is emunah, and that it can also be translated as faithfulness. And so a different translation of this verse can read like this, the way the New Living Translation puts it. The righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. You will live by being faithful. That is what depth means to us as people of the church. To remain faithful is kind of hard in today's world, because it has become a world of instant gratification. Eugene Peterson writes, "One aspect of the world that I have been able to identify as harmful to Christians is the assumption that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. We assume that if something can be done at all, it can be done quickly and efficiently." And he goes on and he writes, "There's a great market for religious experience in the world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness." And so he borrows a phrase from Friedrich Nietzsche to describe what perseverance, what depth in the Christian life is. He says, "The Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction." I think that's maybe what Paul had in mind when he wrote and told the Galatians, "We must not become tired of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up." Now listen, we know that life can be hard. We know that we often have trouble and adversity. We know that evildoers sometimes come out on top. But for us who say we follow Christ, steady faithfulness to God is the way to go. Persistent trust in God's assurance is the way to go. Resolute reliance on God's strength is the way to go. Regular attendance at worship is the way to go. A long obedience in God's direction is the way to go. Holy living every day is a way to go. And depth is the church's ongoing faithfulness. Depth is our continuous faithfulness. And that depth depends on the church's height, on our vertical connection to Almighty God. And it pushes us to be a people of breadth as well. And so my prayer for today is that we will be a three-dimensional church: inclusive, welcoming, friendly, open in breadth. May we grow wider, but also be deep in our ongoing faithfulness to God and to His calling on our lives and on the church. Wide and deep because We are intimately and faithfully connected to God, who is our Most High. That's the kind of church we want to print. A 3D church with breadth and height and depth. We want to be CCD in 3D, because this is Christ's church, and we are Christ's church. We belong to Him, and we are faithful to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thank You for the church, the body of Christ. So often I hear people say, oh, we used to be this and we used to be that and it used to be so great, which is good, but what's more important is, who are we now? Who do we want to be tomorrow? So thank You that there's more than one dimension to church, that it's not just about growing wide, it's about growing deep and high as well. And so may we always be grounded in You. Make us three-dimensional. May all those areas in our church be blessed as we seek to honor and worship You and glorify You as the head of our church. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.